On this week's episode of Cultivating Her Space,
I liberated myself and my lab from the academy and have been building and creating a space where there is more alignment, where I feel more integrity, because the work that I am doing and have always done has been for Black wellness, queer and trans people of color's wellness. But while working in academia, I didn't have it. And the folks who I was nurturing and mentoring didn't have much of it outside of a couple pockets.
Today's episode is sure to provide you with motivation, inspiration, or a fresh perspective. If you have any aha moments or appreciate anything from this episode, please leave us a review to let us know we're on the right track. Also, we release episodes every Friday, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit cultivatingherspace.com to access our exclusive after show and other bonus content from the Patreon tab.
Welcome to Cultivating Her Space, a podcast dedicated to uplifting women like you.
We're your hosts,
Dr. Dominique Broussard, a college professor and psychologist,
and Terry Lomax, a techie and motivational speaker. In a world where Black women are often misrepresented and misunderstood, please join us as we initiate authentic conversations on everything from fibroids to fake friends and create a safe space where Black women can just be. Lady, today we have a very special guest, and we are so excited for this conversation. We think it's going to be healing for ourselves and also for you. So let's go ahead and jump into this impressive bio. Dr. Della V. Mosley is a healer, scholar, activist, and space maker who uses Black feminist approaches to facilitate holistic wellness for people of the global majority, particularly Black people and all queer and transgender people of color. Dr. Della earned a PhD in counseling psychology, is the president of the Wells Healing Center nonprofit, and co-founded the Radical Healing Collaborative, a mental health group practice in Durham, North Carolina. Dr. Della has published over 30 peer-reviewed articles and book chapters centered on wellness and liberation. So go find those articles, y'all, and check them out, okay? They also co-founded the initiative Academics for Black Survival and Wellness and recently presented a TEDx talk entitled Moving from Woke to Working for Black Futures. Della, welcome to Cultivating Her Space.
Thank you so much. So glad to be here with y'all. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. We're so excited.
Yes, we are ready to dive into this conversation. And so I will start us with the quote of the day. Now, Della, these words will sound really familiar to you as we have been through your social media. And we have watched videos, and your words are often very prolific. So this quote comes from your commencement speech at Palo Alto University. Okay. If we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we truly take care of others? Hurt people, hurt people. And we gotta stop the hurt. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna read that one more time for the people in the back to make sure you heard it. If we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we truly take care of others? Hurt people, hurt people. Mm-hmm. And we gotta stop the hurt. Mm. Oh.
We do. We got to stop the hurt when it's coming out. Like, all the band-aids applied, pressure applied. Notice the blood oozing, frankly, and also stop the hurt from happening. Prevent it, block it. It's the same hurt over and over again. So, obviously, by folks who are calling themselves healers and the role of being healers, having so much power over folks, it's critical we intervene.
Yes, it is. And so as this quote has set the foundation for our conversation. But before we really get into it, we want to know who you are. So Della, or Dr. Della, what is your origin story? How did you become the Dr. Della V. Mosley that we see and hear from today?
Thank you.
Thank you for pulling that quote.
That was not a piece of that speech that I come back to. So I really appreciate you pulling that in, and I'm excited for how it'll unfold in this conversation. But I love stories and storytelling, so I could go on forever, but I will try not to do that today. And maybe what's feeling important to this conversation about my origin story always is my parents. I'm from the Midwest, Rockford, Illinois. Both my parents worked at and retired from Chrysler, auto company in Belvedere, Illinois. And so that Black working class Midwest upbringing, it's really core to who I am. And the values of just love and caring for your community was instilled in me from both my parents, as well as this striving toward Black excellence for all the good and all the bad that comes with that. It was core to my story. And maybe I would say, I think right now, as I've been in transition over the last several years with my career, I've been really thinking about I've always been someone who loves the remix and just been hip hop head, loving remixes, period. That was my thing. And then when I got into my graduate study, I was really interested in hip hop feminism and working with Black girls in the community around how to use hip hop to facilitate critical consciousness and conversations about how they're showing up in social media and in the world. And so we were playing with the remix a lot in creative ways with the middle school age girls that I was working with. But now that I've, got my master's in school counseling, got my PhD in counseling psychology, worked on faculty in the psychology department at a top 5 institution, did all of that, and then transitioned myself out of it, I've been, I think, remixing all the pieces of those experiences and skills and networks that really feel serve me and my purpose for my work right now, and that are useful to the communities that I'm serving. And so I am in those roles that you just described. So leading a group mental health practice here, where I'm able to use the traditional counseling psych skills and psychology sort of leadership and research there. But the places where it's really dreamy for me to play with is doing healing circles and creating these Black feminist healing play spaces, whether through pop-up, through ongoing community events. That's been really juicy and fun. And so it's just been pulling from the strategies and pieces that I picked up along the way from, just being an activist, being a Black femme, being a healer, being a researcher. And it's all coming together in some really sweet ways right now.
That is so beautiful and so necessary and so needed. I just feel like whenever we have these conversations, I'm I'm so blessed. I feel so lucky to be able to have a podcast, to be able to converse with people like you. So thank you for being here. And I want to go back to something that you had in your bio. It stood out to me when you say, in your bio, you facilitate holistic wellness for the people of the global majority, because we often hear that we are in the minority. And so when I read that, and I was like, yes, let's speak the truth right here. Okay. So first of all, I was going to say kudos. I see what you did there. I like it. I see what you did. So thank you for that. And then I want to know your perspective on selfishness, because I'm looking at the quote of the day and, you talk about taking care of ourselves. And how we can't really, how can we take care of other people if we're not taking care of ourselves? But I know as Black women, when we want to take care of ourselves, people often use the word selfish. And so I want to know, what comes to mind for you when you hear that word? Is there a story? Is there a feeling? Tell us about selfishness.
Yeah, the emotion or feeling came up right with just the tension of it, right? Yeah, I've struggled with that feeling of selfishness for taking care of myself, selfishness for even centering, being a stand for Black femmes, but non-binary folks in the way that I am. Is it selfish to just focus on myself or even my folk? And I've had to undo that, because I think so much of that is the messaging around selfishness is messaging that takes us away from wellness and wholeness. And I think everyone kind of has to come to terms with their own maybe definition of, their way of making sense of that tension of how do I, love on and pour into and care for myself while also practicing equity, while also honoring what we know about intersectionality and, you know, the importance of being aware of our privilege and giving. But it is really hard for Black women particularly. And so one of the pieces of work that I'm most excited about and has been moving is the BLFM Healing Framework. It's a model for everyone, but it really centers wellness for Black femmes and non-binary folks. And it was difficult even in writing that because I talk about these different levels and how we get towards wellness. And it's important for us to think about the self-love level, what we do for ourselves each day. And that has to come first, period. I also talk about what we do at the sort of relational level, what we do with others to get towards wellness, how others can support our wellness. And then last, it's kind of this community level, which if you feel like you've got, you know, you've got more money in the bank, I like to say, when it comes to these categories of wellness, more wellness in a certain area, then you can afford to give in that area, perhaps. And so at the level of community, how do we pour out? And so I think it's about finding a sense of kind of harmony among those to where we can, the tension can start to dissipate and we can be good to ourselves and good in community.
Hey, lady, it's Terry here. Dom and I want to take a moment to thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. We love you for real, and we want to give you a chance to learn more about what's important to us. So tell us what you think about this.
Imagine a world where you have a chance to get featured on the Cultivating Her Space podcast and share your business, brand, or perspective with millions around the globe. Imagine joining our monthly virtual video check-ins where you can connect with like-minded Black women like you and share your ideas and episode suggestions with Terry and I. Now I want you to imagine a world where you're in the exclusive Cultivating Her Space Sanctuary Slack channel, and throughout your day and week, you are conversing with us about what's happening in your life and sharing funny gifts and your personal wins. How does that sound?
Hopefully this is up your alley, lady, because we are taking things to the next level this year and we're doubling down on investing in our community. That means you.
Yay!
We want to meet you, connect with you, and create communities of genuine women who love on Black women and push our culture and movement forward. We launched this podcast in 2019, and to date, we have not missed a week. We've been great stewards of our platform, all while working full-time and navigating our own ups and downs. We release fresh new content every single Friday, like clockwork, and we have hundreds of valuable episodes and workshops that can really help you uplevel your life. So if you love our mission or you've gotten value from us, we invite you to give back and help us push this community effort forward. Visit herspacepodcast.com and click Patreon. You can learn more about our goals and exclusive offerings on Patreon, and we highly encourage you to join the Sister Frontier so that you can get some one-on-one time with us. We also have an option for you to donate on a one-time basis if that meets your needs. Again, herspacepodcast.com, and you can click that link that says Patreon. All right, lady, we'll hop right back into the conversation.
Thank you for providing that framework. And but before we go a little bit deeper, I want to make sure folks fully understand, because healing and wellness are both buzzwords right now, right? How do you define healing, and how do you define healers?
Yes, thank you. This is so important for people to, I think, coming out of academia and these spaces that are trying to sell you and market to you a particular mode of wellness, of health, of care. And it is so external. And I think it has to take it back. Decolonizing these spaces is about taking it back. Healing is really our birthright. So I define healing as a process of repairing wounds, developing into our most ideal or highest versions of ourselves, and being accountable for our own and others' wellness. So that accountability piece is really important, but our own wellness coming first and others who we're in relationship with and coming next. Yeah, so I think it's all of that together. And so then a healer is anyone who's doing that work to repair their own wounds and to find folks who can support them in that repair, right? Who can support them into developing into their highest versions of themselves. And so all of us are healers if we're doing that. And if we're trying to do our best to be aware of the ways that we might get in the way of someone else's wellness and trying to work to remove that. So it's about, again, it's that accountability piece. It's the paying attention to who you're with and what they need to be well and how you're showing up and influencing that, how you might be taking away from that or contributing to that.
I love that even in the midst of prioritizing and emphasizing the importance of healing ourselves, there's always that community aspect in there with you. It's like, we're going to do the work for ourselves. But also, if you have more money, or I want to say, I don't know, wellness utility in the bank, right? Mm-hmm. Go offer that to someone else. I love that. So that's so that we're not just like in this overflow and it's just overflowing like for no, you know what I mean? Unintentionally, exactly. Like not intentional. So I love that. And I would love to know, you know, you talk about your work being centered around wellness and healing. Like, how do you practice wellness and healing for yourself? What does that look like in your life?
Yeah, it's always changing. And I think that's part of what, you know, to be in the practice of healing, to consider yourself a healer. It's like we're constantly searching and iterating and feeling into what is going to bring us in this moment for this context, what's going to take us there, which is, yeah, why I think it's important for folks to have some kind of guide frame, something to hold on to that can help them to make sense of that balance. And so for me right now, I'm really heavy on my healing. Let me tell y'all, I am deep in some healing trauma work. And so I'm maybe more invested in my healing than, you know, 2 months ago. It might look, the list might've been half as long, right? But right now I'm in this really dope 10-week course called Healing on the Mat with Dr. Sheena Young for focused on survivors, BIPOC survivors of sexual trauma. I am in weekly ongoing coaching groups with my liberation coach and healer who I've been working with for years. I am practicing as much softness, like getting as much softness around me as possible at all times. That's just really important. So I'm taking as many of my meetings from the couch and wearing the coziest things I could wear. And that is like part of my ritual right now, specific to my healing. I'm always journaling. That's been my safe space and my healing space for a long time. You know, I'm really playing with making my bedtime as sexy and luscious as I can make it. Just, you can call it sleep hygiene, but I call it making sleep sexy and luscious. So I am in that bag right now, always in my, you know, gratitude and prayer space, really heavy. And that's been really supportive. So it's always shifting, but those are the things that are really gathering and holding me right now. As well as I think I lead a healing space, a free healing space for Black grad students each week. And that makes me feel really in my purpose and like spiritually aligned. So those are some of the things.
That sounds so beautiful. Oh my, I'm just like taking it all in. And you have me at the sleep, making sleep sexy and luscious. I'm just like, oh my goodness, that sounds amazing. But I just love that even, you know, I'm not a PhD, you and Dr. Dom are. And I love when I hear, you know, therapists and counselors and psychologists talk about what they do for self-care as well, because the healer needs a healer, right? The coach needs a coach.
Absolutely.
And so it brings me so much joy to hear that the people who are serving our community and giving to us, you know, are also taking care of themselves. I think that's so important. So thank you for giving us ideas that we can implement in our lives as well. All the programs you mentioned sound amazing. And to kind of go back to, you know, sleep being sexy and luscious, I think we should shift up the energy a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Because we recognize, appreciate, and celebrate the multifaceted woman, and we believe that it's okay to be bougie, classy, and ratchet, you can still be elegant and dance to strip club music if you so choose. Okay.
Say that.
Come on. You already know. So, Della, we want to invite you to the OU Blatchet segment. Do you take on the challenge?
I accept.
Yes. Okay, good. We got you. Okay, cool. So now we're going to tell you what to expect. So, now that you've agreed, we're going to ask you three questions. We're going to share three sentence completions. And then we have three photos of you pulled up that we're going to share on the big screen. And we want you to choose a number out of 1 and 3, and we'll share that particular photo. And when we share the photo, we want you to describe the photo for folks that are tuning into the audio only. And then give us some context about the photo that we wouldn't know just by looking at it.
So, okay.
Going to jump on in. We're going to ease into this segment. So the first question is, What's the best piece of wisdom or advice you've ever received?
Okay, not the best piece of advice. I think, yeah, right now I would just say breathe. Be serious about your breath. Breathe deeper. Breathe more intentionally. Anything that takes it back to the breath as like a serious practice, as a serious gift, as always there, as necessary. And yeah, so that's the best advice. Breathe.
Yes. Okay. I like that. Breathe. Like, because it is essential. We have to do it. All right. So our next question. We switching up the energy on this next question now.
Let's go.
All right. So, if given the option, are you going to twerk or two-step?
You know, it depends what's playing, but I'm going to say I'm in a twerk mode right now. Twerk mode.
So, okay.
You know, let it go.
Yes. Just be free.
We are exactly. Here for it, okay? Free cheeks, we're here for it.
We breathing and we twerking.
That's right. Breathing and twerking all day. Okay, Della. So, next question is, the final question is, what's the sexiest item you own?
A mirror, because hello.
Okay.
Period.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
We see what you did there. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, obviously, right? Like,
obviously.
Hello.
You just know, why not?
Love on ourselves.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
A little mirror work. We got the sexiness. Yes.
Exactly. All right. So now we're going to move into the sentence completion. One question or topic I wish people asked me about more often is...
My nibbling. My nibblings is my name for my nieces, nephews, non-binary babes, my god babies, that group right there. They're my beloveds. And yeah, I'm not a parent yet. I do hold a vision, a hope to be a parent one day. I'm working towards that in some ways right now, actually. But I've had a deep, long, very rich, meaningful relationship with my nibblings. And I wish I could talk more about them because they're just amazing. And that relationship is sacred. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. You saw our, I don't know if you knew what that was, Dom, but you saw our facial expressions. Like, wait. I was like, did you say nipples? I had to make sure, but you said nibbling. So I just want to make sure. Okay. So you're not going to believe this, Della. Okay. So get ready for this. The next sentence completion is, what I want to tell you all about my nibblings is...
What I want to tell y'all about my nibblings is they are creative geniuses who, like... Oh, who I, Ray, do not have their like creative light squashed in any way from the formal things that they're like doing, as, you know, being on the stage crew of their play at school to like the homemade museums they make up just because they feel like it in the afternoon. There's just so much light and creativity there that my inner child loves interacting with and that I just hope to see flourish.
Oh. That is so beautiful. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Our final sentence completion. What I love most about myself is...
What I love most about myself is my compassion. Like, compassion for self, compassion toward others. That is, I think, one of the things that helps me to have a sense of groundedness and wellness and connection. That different life experiences make it harder for certain people to access that, right? Or lack of access to the healing tools make self-compassion and compassion period harder for folks to access. But it's something I feel like I've always had and feel really, really grateful for.
It is so beautiful and such a great transition into our final piece of the OU Blatchett segment, which is one of my favorites, the photos. Okay, so we got some photos put up. These photos, I wish we could go through all of them. These photos look good, Della. Okay, so can you choose a number, please, out of 1 and 3? And I'll share the photo.
I'm gonna go for 3.
Yes.
I'm so happy you chose this one. I was like, I hope she did. Okay, y'all, wait for this. So, Della, if you can describe the photo first and then give us some context about the photo once you see it, I'm okay. So happy you chose this photo because it's so cute. Okay, let's see. All right, you should be able to see it now. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. This is me on a patio at patio in Puerto Rico in the summertime at I think gay owned hotel at their rooftop situation. There's a Black Lives Matter sign behind me. There's a trans pride flag, several other flags behind me. And I was celebrating one of my besties, my co-founder of the Radical Healing Practice and one of my best friends for 14 years, David Young O's birthday with a group of my BIPOC queer besties. And we were just having a ball in Puerto Rico, resting and loving on each other, just deep in play and joy. And so, yeah, I don't know what is going on, but that is some joy and freedom on my face right there. Okay.
That is a whole vibe. Thank you for describing it and playing along with us. That looks beautiful. Deep in joy. I'm like, I need more of that in my life. Like getting deep in joy. Yes. Rest and play. Come on.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I love
that. That was fun. Thank y'all.
Thank you for participating and playing along with us. We try to add a little bit of play into the conversation. Yes. Lady, I have a question for you, and I'm going to need you to make sure the kids ain't around, and you're going to have to come in close for this one, okay? Did you know that you can squeeze, pulse, milk, lock, whip, and even twist a man in bed using only your vagina? Yes, your vagina. These and many other skills are part of a secret practice called Pompar.
Pompar is so incredibly powerful that Cleopatra was rumored to have used it to seduce Julius Caesar, the great Roman emperor, leading to the War of Alexandria. Our sponsor Goddess, that's Goddess with an H after the O, is the world's first online program teaching you all of these vaginal superpowers step by step so you can completely transform your sex life. Their program is a fully animated, structured course designed to naturally increase your pleasure, multiply your orgasms, and boost your sex drive. The Goddess program is medically backed and gets updated with new techniques and exercises every single month.
Now you know how we do. We like to test out all of our sponsors' products and services before we share them with you. And we tried the Goddess program, and girl, let me just say, I have a strong appreciation for both the content and the visuals. The engaging visuals really made it easy for me to follow along, and it kept me hooked. But one of my favorite takeaways was the emphasis on this being a lifestyle that can easily be seamlessly integrated into daily life. And that's literally how I've been using it. I'm talking about Kegels while you're washing dishes, Kegels while you're at your desk, right? Like all that good stuff. And I'm going to keep it 100. Exploring practices used by ancient escorts added a very intriguing dimension for me. And while this all might drive one's partner crazy, the neurological benefits, such as prevention of incontinence, increased pleasure, heightened libido, improved confidence, tightness, and wetness, it makes it worthwhile. I've been doing these techniques for the past few weeks, and lady, I already feel a change in my pelvic floor.
We know you want in on this program, so right now, they're offering a $100 discount on the program using the code CULTIVATE at goddess.com. That's goddess with an H after the O. GOHDDESS.com.
And we love to just hop back into, you know, what we were talking about earlier and dive into some feedback or advice or something that you would tell your younger self to prepare you for where you are now. Like if you could go back and tell younger Della something to prepare you for where you are now, what would that be?
Yeah. You can probably catch the tone of my energy throughout this conversation is of where I am in my healing work is it's like a very particular moment. And it has me thinking a lot about mindfulness and being able to slow down and stay in your body. So I'd want to, tell my younger self to slow down and be more present. Like, I was always racing, and this is something that I still actively, you know, try to work against. But I would try to teach them some mindfulness, or invite them to like document their journey a little bit more. I used to like have a diary, put it aside, but for those times when, you know, knowing that trauma is going to come for many Black folks and non-binary folks, like throughout our life, then that means there's going to be the pull to get out of your body. And so, you know, later, like in the last 7-8 years, I think I started to be more serious about my journaling practice, about leaving little notes and reminders and ways to track and come back to myself, right? So that I could transition from having to come back to myself to like never really leaving myself long enough for it to say that I was gone, right? But like one of the ways that has been really supportive for me in that part of my healing is mindfulness and journaling and just anything that'll help me practice embodiment and being in my body, being present. So I would, the slow down message and invitation would be something I would offer to my little self.
Oh, I think so many of our little selves need that message, right? Yeah. To slow down.
Yeah.
And so I know that part of the slowing down and is tapping into and working on healing the trauma that we may have experienced in our lives, right? And oftentimes, trauma happens in the workplace.
Absolutely.
And we've been seeing in the news a lot lately the resignations, the sudden death of Black women in administrative roles within academia.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that that experience is not just common for Black women within academia, but across all different types of work environments. But we've been seeing it focus more recently on Black women in academia.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you had a role in academia. I mean, you went through academia as a student, but then you spent some time as a faculty member. Can you tell us about your time in academia and your transition out of academia and what advice you would have for some women who are looking to leave a toxic or and or traumatic workspace?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That breath. I see you. I love to see you, Karen. Oh, yeah. I mean, part of my origin story that I didn't mention is, but for folks who have seen my TED Talk, they've heard about my best friend and roommate, Heather, who passed away while in law school. And I just remember so vividly sitting on the phone with her and hearing stories of racism and sexism. And then she died in her second semester of law school. And that was part of like having her leave us so young made me start to just take way more seriously how I'm spending every moment that I have here on this earth. And so it's like, and that was so long ago. That was, you know, I think 2007. And so for us to be in this moment now where there's so much publicity of these recent losses, it's like a really intense moment that is impacting me on so many different levels. I feel like on one hand, really so grateful to be in a space where I was able to be in tune with myself and my needs, and to be in a practice while I was in academia that had me constantly checking in with my wellness and moving towards my wholeness, so that when I started to feel the buildup of the microaggressions and the constant just overt racism and discrimination, that I was able to find a way to move myself out before it got too bad. But there was a period where it was really scary, like losing sleep. I'm feeling just tension in my back and neck all the time. And I, starting to get regular headaches, right? Like just the any day that there's a faculty meeting, these like physiological symptoms are sort of coming, as well as just like the amount of stress and exhaustion that came from like figuring out the strategies to move through it. So this is, I'm like, now I'm 3 years. I resigned on Juneteenth of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. And, you know, I say I liberated myself and my lab from the academy and have been building and creating a space where there is more alignment, where I feel more integrity, because the work that I am doing and have always done has been for Black wellness, queer and trans people of color's wellness. But while working in academia, I didn't have it. And the folks who I was nurturing and mentoring didn't have much of it outside of a couple pockets, right? So I'm feeling like some relief now, and then also very serious about being a space, a container for folks who are still there to be held and be, you know, coached and supported as they get towards their wholeness, either in or outside of academia. So yeah, I'm feeling heaviness. I want to say the names, you know, of our recent loss of good sisters. My dear Heather Scott, but Dr. Antoinette Bonnie Kendia Bailey, Dr. Arinthia T. Montague, Dr. Joanne Epps, doctoral candidate Amantha Sammy Teresa Mentzel are a couple of the names that have been well known. And for anyone listening, I just honor the parts, if you're in academia, the parts of you that might have been murdered, right? As you went through, a lot of the students who I work with in my Black grad student group or who I've just been mentoring over the years, they're experiencing, like, these are 25 and 27 year olds experiencing strokes, you know, being in ICU for different levels of like as a result of stress, pressure, grind culture, the John Henryism that happens in academia. It's constant. It's been here, and it is soul crushing and literally taking lives. So just have so much love and empathy and compassion and heartbreak and grief, joy, the folks we've lost, we are losing. And for folks who, you know, like me, who had to leave and who are grieving that identity, that self, that possibility pathway that was there that has been taken, that we had to exchange, you know, life on this planet for this career that is really satisfying in these other ways. May we be well.
Thank you so much.
May we
for
be
sharing.
Serious about our wellness.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, sorry, I just want to go back, like, to close that piece up with, like, the, it's like we need to honor, we need to grieve, and thinking about prevention. It's like, I just hope folks are tapping in with themselves, are present with themselves, are in their bodies to know what their bodies are seeing, feeling, needing, crying out for. And I hope that we can be accountable to that cry.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. And as you were sharing, it made me think about someone who might be listening, who wants to be on their healing and wellness journey, but maybe doesn't know where to get started. What would you say are, I don't know, some next steps or maybe some best practices on creating their own ritual for healing and wellness?
Yeah. Okay. Celebrate yourself. If that's you right now, celebrate yourself for that being you. Because it takes a minute to be ready, right? Tony K. Bambara in the book Salt Eater starts out, you know, are you sure, sweetheart, that you're ready to be well? Because, you know, it takes a lot to get there. So I think honoring and celebrating and having a whole situation, a ritual of being ready to be well. Even if you don't know the way, just celebrate being there. And then, you know, depending on who you are, I think you can probably imagine some people who you see being whole, having wellness in certain aspects, whether it's, you know, you appreciate how they seem physically well, you appreciate, you know, how they are in relationship. And you can just start to tap in and see what is helping other folks to get there. I invite people to remember, right? Like, we have this knowing, and we've tried before probably to get towards wellness, and maybe we stopped certain things, but there were likely pathways that served us before that we've put aside or forgot about or haven't slowed down enough to come back to. So I would invite that reflection and, like, you know, did this thing work before? Could it possibly be useful here now? Does that totally have to go because that was some crap someone else taught me and made me do that was just really not for me? But like doing that sort of assessment to see what's there, you know, talking about academia for folks, for Black folks who are in academia, I think, you know, definitely hit me up at the Wells Healing Center. We've offered a lot of free spaces for Black grad students, for trans grad students, and really just try to be a resource and networking point for folks outside of Wells. There are some, you know, lists. I think, you know, traditional therapy could be a pathway. I also think there's a lot of really dope, like, you know, energy healers and folks who are doing somatic work and things like that. That could be a really cool place to start to feel into, right? You're just building your map. Again, I would invite folks to check out that Blissam Healing article because I'm trying to make this journey towards building your own healing recipe, healing potion for the moment, really accessible, really easy. And so I lay out these different chambers of our wellness. And then I give you a bunch of queries, some questions to think about, you know, whether you're experiencing wellness in that area and how you might get closer to it. And so it's really like a blueprint, really straightforward. So that's through Bliss on Instagram at Blissam Healing. And you can get a lot of tools and resources that might spark some ideas for the pathway that you might want to take next.
Antella, could you just spell that for us? Because I want to make sure we can put that in the show notes for folks as well.
Yes, thank you. It's Blissam Healing, Healing, at Blissam Healing. But yeah, Blissam is a play on Black feminism.
Love that. Perfect. We're going to make sure to add that in the show notes. Thank you so much.
For sure.
And, you know, I appreciate what you said about creating like your own healing potion, right? And I think it's important for folks to hear that and recognize that there are multiple ways in which we can focus on our healing and that it's coming from someone who was trained in Western psychology, right?
That's
like,
right.
I think about going through graduate school and the ways in which we were taught to do therapy and the ways in which, as for me, as I reflect on reactions that I had to certain things that were said in class or techniques that we were taught that just didn't sit right. And from what we're taught in class to our licensing exams, the things that aren't culturally competent and culturally responsive for Black folks, for folks of the global majority. And so for our listeners out there who are like, because I say all the time, yes, get therapy, right? And I recognize that not every therapist is culturally responsive. For our folks who are listening and considering therapy, what would be your suggestions on some things that they can look for in a culturally responsive therapist?
Thank you so much for making those points, Dr. Don. Yeah. Ooh. It's so deep. It's like if folks are training to be, you know, mental health practitioners, social workers, counselors, whatever, haven't found some additional support, some additional training, some additional like mentoring, if they're working in Black or Brown communities, I don't, please stay away from my people, right? Because the training programs are ill-equipped, very ill-equipped, generally speaking, to the service. And so like, I've got all these degrees, all these hours, but I'm still constantly in training. I'm still sitting at the feet of so many elders and mentors and learning different healing pathways and modalities. And so, yeah, it's so, so, so critical. And so as folks are searching, I think, you know, getting on that 15-minute, 30-minute discovery call that you might have with a potential healer, please have your questions ready. Please have the questions that you ask that are important to you about how folks see the world or make sense of the world, what they see as healing or wellness. what values they hold and how they live them out, both in and outside of the therapy room are some of the questions that I might be holding, but also the questions that they're not asking, but that they're tracking is like, you know, to what extent do you feel like this person is trusting of you? Right. Because a lot of, there's so much inherent lack of trust of brown folks that out the gate, you can get that sense and trust that sense. Okay. That the, you know, are folks talking over you? Are folks respecting what you're saying? Is there space made? Is there follow-up? Is there a formula that's being followed that doesn't feel like it's aligning with you? Are you having the space to ask your questions and feeling like you are retaining your autonomy versus speaking with someone who is claiming control, ownership, and performing expert over you? Like, those are things that I would be watching out for and assessing in the background and having that inform my decisions. And I want to see receipts. There's nothing wrong with working with folks who are, you know, newer in their journey. It's important to know whatever their receipts are up to that point. What is your lineage, right? In the book, Healing Justice Lineages, the authors really talk a lot about, and in healing justice as a practice overall, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, being transparent about that pathway that you've taken in order to become a healer and what that means for you and who you're accountable to. And those are some of the things that I would want our folks to be holding in mind as they're seeking out any type of healer or healing work.
Yes, yes, and yes, amen. Like, all the things. That is so powerful, because all of what you just provided, like, that is such a great vetting tool. Because like you said, if your gut is like, something right here, then listen to that. So thank you so much for empowering and equipping our listeners with that. And I would love to know, Della, because I think about the work that you're doing and what we've learned about you today, and I just know that you are making such an impact on the community and on the world. Can you tell us about a time when you realized just how impactful your work is? Like, is there a moment, a story, or something you could tell us to kind of drive that home?
You're very generous. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, the most recent one. Okay, two quickies.
Yes, but yes.
They kind of go together. It's from the same this group I've been moving with in a healing space for the last year and a half. And one of the people in the group just transitioned out. They're graduating. They got their PhD. And when they signed on to the group or joined on to the group, they were like really skeptical. They were like, first of all, what is Black feminism? Like, I don't know about all this. This seems very, like, they're in the hard sciences and they just had their family upbringing as like a very kind of, you know, Jack and Jill sort of the Black excellence that I was talking about. So a lot of, you know, uplifting of whiteness and white supremacy culture and the things that help you to succeed in that. And we're undoing all of that in all of my healing spaces. And so we did that for the last year and a half. And as they graduated, I just got to watch them transform. And they gave these beautiful reflections on how they are in, like, this was the one of the first times in spaces that they really understood their Blackness in a way that felt real and true to them. And that they had Black community that was authentic around just like who and how we show up versus some sort of striving outside of ourselves. And that felt like a win. And they're now fans of Black feminism too. So yes.
Yes.
And in that same session, we're sort of closing out a semester. This other person is staying on and still in the space. But, you know, they were talking about how I have revolutionized them and others in the group, but not in the way there's so much going on right now that should be revolutionizing and radicalizing and catalyzing folks towards self and collective care in very serious ways. But instead of it being, you know, focused on how, you know, genocide in Palestine is catalyzing people towards action, how I catalyze folks through love and the practice of self-love. And I was like, what, baby, are you really giving me that? Are you laying those flowers on me? And it's those one-on-one individual experiences of how folks are feeling assisted that really stay with me and mean the most.
Oh, so beautiful.
So beautiful. I'm getting teary-eyed over here.
So beautiful. So one of the things that you mentioned in the impact that you have on folks is about operating from what Bell Hooks calls a love ethic, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that you talk about that often. And so can you share with our audience, like, What is that space of love that Bell Hooks often talks about that kind of guides you in all of the work that you do?
That's such a big question. Y'all, please go read all about love. I don't know, the core pieces that I think stand out right now is like, it's really totally reorienting yourself around the relationship, like really about being in relationship, being with folks, like knowing them deeply. And then from that place of knowing, being able to provide care, to be caring towards them, to agree to continue to show up in relationship with them. And that means moving through and naming conflict and finding your way through that process together. I love the love ethic framework because it's just so straightforward. It's so straightforward. It's like, what is going to be required for there to be trust here, right? What is going to be required for there to be a responsibility between us that can be honored, and where that responsibility shows up and it makes me feel like I'm being cared for and we're able to move together and feel like we're growing. And so I think the love ethic is like the guide or the framework, something that we can keep coming back to, knowing that we're going to fall off. But this is like the sort of handrails on the escalator that as we're moving forward and just in constant motion and movement, this is the sturdy thing that we can hold on to. It's like, I'm going to keep turning towards you. I'm going to keep turning towards you and checking in, like, is something getting in the way of these sort of core factors? And it's like, if you have that, then any of the questions, any of the harms of the day or of the world that continue to repeat, we can, no matter how complex, no matter how novel they are, no matter how simple they are, that we have something that we can keep like rooting into, and that'll keep us together, and that'll allow us to have our wholeness as an individual and for us to have some kind of world that's worth living in, you know? Shout out to Bell Hooks. Where would we be without like that accessible writing that, like, talking about speaking from the gut, just like the truth is just there, right? And tapping into those wisdoms, I think, can help us to be more well.
Beautifully stated. And I guess we just have we call this the wrap up question. Okay. And that's like, what lasting impact do you hope to leave with your family, friends, and the community?
I want my impact to be one where supportive folks in their movement toward owning their role in their own healing, right? Like taking on that role, owning it, holding it in like such high regard, being rigorous about your healing. I want that to be my legacy, like getting it back to us and having us be serious about it, be in a practice with it. That's enough. That would be everything. If I could be known for that, that would be fire.
Mic drop. Absolutely. Agreed. Hands down. Like, yes. Della, this was so enlightening, so encouraging, so soothing. Your voice is also just so soothing and relaxing. I feel like I can imagine our listeners like being in the bathtub or like having a glass of wine on the couch, just like, yes, I'm with my girlfriend. Just, you know,
you need to do some meditation. Like, okay. Your voice is definitely a soothing balm. Yes.
Thank you so much. Yes. It's been so delightful to be with you. These thoughtful questions, like, y'all are really cultivating faith and have been thorough with it for so long. It's an honor to be in conversation and community with you and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And if you can just tell listeners, Della, where they can find you, what you are offering right now, because we know you have the plug. Della's the plug. Okay, Della is the plug, y'all. So you have all the things. Let them know, please. How can they tap in?
Well, thank you. Please follow me. I'm in my creative space since leaving academia. And I love just playing and creating. And so as I'm playing with new things, it's usually first on my Instagram, which is at DVMOSLEY, DV Mosley. And, you know, you can find me at the Wells Healing Center, at Wells Healing, or my dream space. Come play with me at BlueFemme. Come get some of this Black feminist healing.
Yes.
I'm leading a group of 10 Black women and non-binary folks through some healing practices for 4 months, and I'm building the waitlist now for the next one. So it's where I'm teaching the BLFM healing model and coaching, being folks liberation coach to help them get more wellness. So that's through BLFM healing. But yeah, I think that's all I'll share for now.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Della. We appreciate you, and we would love to keep in touch.
I look forward to it. Thank y'all so much.
Hey, lady. It's Dr. Dom here from the Cultivating Her Space podcast. Are you currently a resident of the state of California and contemplating starting your therapy journey? Well, if so, please reach out to me at drdominiquebroussard.com. That's drdominiquebroussard.com to schedule a free 15-minute consultation. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for joining us today. Please note that our show may contain conversations about self-help, advice, self-empowerment, and mental health, but is by no means meant to be a substitute for an ongoing formal relationship with a trained mental health provider. If you or someone you know is in need of mental health care, please visit the Therapy for Black Girls directory, Psychology Today, or contact your insurance provider.
If you liked what you heard and want to keep the conversation going, visit our website at herspacepodcast.com and be sure to click the Patreon tab to get access to video content, bonuses, and our weekly after show. And before we meet again, repeat after me. My thoughts create my reality. Today, I choose thoughts that empower and uplift me.